And now, the podcast about movies for people who like movies. Welcome to Snubs.
So I'm going to kick us off with introducing my buddy, podcast partner, who is still very intensely staring and just put his hands together.
I have my 10.
He's looked up and he's ready to start.
I have my 14.
All right. Welcome to Snubs.
Have we started?
We are started.
Oh, okay. Welcome to Snubs, everybody.
Okay, go ahead. I just talked for a while.
Oh, okay.
Okay. You start.
But do I need to say what the podcast is?
It's not a bad idea. I don't think I did a very good job at it.
Okay, this is, what is the thing? This is the podcast about movies for people who like movies. Where did we come up with that? That sounds very hacky to me.
It was the top of my head.
Okay.
Top of the dome.
Okay.
It is our thing that we
All right, that's fine. I'm happy to go with that.
Yeah.
This is a podcast about the Best Popular Film Oscar, which never came to fruition because it was announced and then almost immediately canceled last year. But we both thought that that was a super interesting idea, and it would be really... illuminating to look back at years past in cinema history and debate what would have been nominated and what would have won for Best Popular Film. So we are talking about 1984. We've talked about 10 films so far this year. We talked about Beverly Hills Cop versus Terminator.
Yes.
We talked about Romancing the Stone versus Karate Kid.
Yes.
We talked about Gremlins versus Ghostbusters. We talked about Dune versus Purple Rain. And we talked about Splash versus Temple of Doom. And of those matchups, what we have now as our final four in the category, less than what is normally nominated for an Oscar, but that's okay, is Terminator, Karate Kid, Ghostbusters, and Temple of Doom. We ruled out Dune and Purple Rain because they're just...
Yeah, unfortunately.
So, yeah, they're
although
just
I gotta say that
movies.
There are still some memorable scenes from each that I that I enjoyed.
Sure.
Like the training scene in Dune, where Patrick Stewart and what's his face, Kyle MacLachlan,
where they do the boxy armor sword fighting thing.
The boxy armor, which reminds me very much of the Interstellar robots.
Yeah, the TARS.
The TARS in case.
Yeah.
Purple Rain. Every music scene was good.
I see. The problem with Dune is that Dune has so many parts that are actually really interesting and weird, and the what is the name of the bald ladies, the Bene Gesserit, the psychics, those are super interesting, the Baron Harkonnen, and Sting is in his henchmen, that stuff is really good, but it's just so long and it is such a slog.
Yeah, it's like punishingly paced.
Yeah.
and you're constantly searching around for understanding of what is happening on the screen.
Yeah,
and that makes it a drag.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if you watch it 3 or 4 times, it might start to make more sense.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But again, I think as we said in that episode, it felt both over-explained and under-explained.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, what we're going to do first is we're going to talk about our four finalists.
Don't you want to talk about the year at large, though, before we get into this?
What are we going to talk about the year at large?
Well, I don't know. I feel like you just spent about 10 minutes working on a top 10 list for 2019, so maybe you ought to just talk about that.
Oh. Yeah, no, I thought that we were going to do... Well, let's finish out 1984, and then I'm going to give my 2019
What kind of dramaticism is that? You,
you want me to do that first?
Yeah, we're trying to build up some excitement about our top four.
All right, well,
Spielberg
is very welcome to listen to my 2019 year in review.
We're going to do what Spielberg or Hanks would do.
Yeah.
If given the helm to this
Sounds
film.
Sounds good. And then I'm very sorry that no one will ever know the outcome of our imaginary Best Popular Film Award.
No, you got to listen through. That's the thing.
Okay, fine.
No, this is going to be good. Dan has seen a lot of movies this year.
So I think I've seen more... Okay, I've seen a lot of movies this year. Out of the movies that have been released in 2019, it would appear that I have seen 65 so far.
Woo!
Wow. And there are some more to go. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give my top 10.
Cool.
I'm going to say why I love them.
Great.
But I'm going to make a disclaimer that there are like another 10 movies that I haven't seen that I hope to see in the next 10 days.
Okay.
Before the end of 2019 so that I can do my actual list. Because Mary and I, Snubbud number one and I, are doing our year-end list.
Oh, yeah.
And I need to get myself in order for that.
That seems like a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think you should do it. I guess.
We're going to have three nights and three bottles of wine and figure it out. Okay, so.
Do I have to cut that out?
No, you're fine. You can leave that in.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
I feel like you talk about drinking a lot.
See, the thing that you have to cut out is when you imply that I have some drinking problem.
I'm not implying anything. It's all on the record that you talk about drinking a lot.
Okay. All right. Fine. It doesn't matter. Just leave it in.
He means three bottles per night, per person, I think.
Okay.
Top 10.
I don't know what of these you have seen.
I'll let you know.
Yes. Just if you tell me if you wanted to see it.
I'll let you know if I have even heard of it.
Now, this is going to... Okay. I'm just going to say. Number one.
Snubs.
Number one, what is wrong with you? You start with 10 and then you...
Okay, all right, excuse me.
That I will bleep.
All right, bleep that out.
Okay, make it right. Not too bleep.
This is so hard. Okay, number 10, Marriage Story.
Oh, I want to see that. It's available on Netflix, so I keep seeing that it's possible to watch.
It's on Netflix. I saw the... I don't know whether it was the premiere. I think it had been in a couple of other festivals. But I saw the screening, at least, at the New York Film Festival with Noah Baumbach. And it's Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson and Laura Dern and Ray Liotta and all these people were there. And it was really... It's a lovely, tender, well-acted film that's about the messiness of divorce. And I really, really liked it. I think it's a little bit imbalanced between Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson. I wish that they had given... her a little bit more to do.
Okay.
And that's my one kind of gripe with it. But I think generally speaking, it's a great movie.
I will say that instead of watching that, since it seems like a little bit too much of a commitment at the time when I see it on Netflix, I've been watching The Crown season 3.
Yeah. With Olivia Colman.
Yeah. Olivia, I just finished it.
Cool.
It was great. All that stuff is great. All that Crown is great, but I really
prefer... All that Crown is great.
I really preferred Claire Foy to Olivia Colman, I gotta say. And not being like a big...
That's kind of like... That's a little bit sacrilegious.
Why do you say that?
Olivia Colman is just so wonderful.
Have you seen The Crown?
No.
Okay, so it's not really sacrilegious. Yeah. Okay. No, it's just that I don't really like follow the royals or anything, but I do love that show, and I think she really developed a character that I... appreciated her in.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman does great and has some really good scenes, but I miss Claire.
Okay.
And I miss whoever played Philip, because they got some Game of Thrones guy to do it now.
I think it was Tobias Menzies.
The original one?
Yeah.
He ruled.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the right person.
Tall guy?
Yeah, he was tall.
But I think he's British. If not, he's even a better actor than I thought.
He's from Kentucky.
Good. TV show. Okay, great. Go on. Number nine.
Number nine. Hustlers.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see Hustlers?
I wanted to see that.
Hustlers is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And in many ways, there are other movies on my top 10 list that are better, but Hustlers is one of the things that I really enjoyed the most.
What did you like about it?
Jennifer Lopez puts in an incredible performance.
That's good to see.
Which she's getting a lot of discussion for Best Supporting Actress.
Since Money Train.
What?
Best J-Lo since Money Train, right? That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, best since Money Train. it's weird because she's being talked about as Best Supporting Actress, but in many ways I think that she's actually the lead of that film. Uh-huh. But it's such a well-shot, well-directed, carefully thought-out piece of film. And I like, it gets a little bit slow in a couple different pieces, but that's really worth it for the J-Lo performance.
Who would be the lead if not J-Lo?
It's Constance Wu.
Oh.
She really is kind of the lead.
She's the protagonist.
She's the protagonist, and it's like a fine performance, but it doesn't really
she has the most screen time
as J-Lo. Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like J-Lo's supporting.
They're like co-leads. That's what I would argue.
Fair enough.
There's a scene that she has at the end in the break room of an Old Navy that I cried heavily at.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Were you in an Old Navy break room while you were watching it?
Yeah, I was.
On your phone?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds good.
I go there all the time to watch movies. Number 8, Pain and Glory.
Uh-huh.
The Almodovar.
Yeah.
It's Antonio Banderas playing essentially a version of Pedro Almodovar as he reflects upon his life as an aging film director.
Mm.
Very beautiful, very tender. Very Dan movie.
Okay.
I saw it with Jeremy.
Yeah.
And afterwards, Jeremy was like, That was a very Dan movie. I was like, what do you mean? It's like, well, you know, it's about somebody who, like, has a lot of regret and is looking back on his life and also, like, had back surgery. And that's you.
Hmm.
I was like, oh, okay, cool. But great movie.
Cool.
Well,
you didn't ask if I had seen it.
Did you see it?
No, I did not.
Okay. I didn't think that you would have seen that one.
I missed it.
Yeah. Number 7.
Okay.
The Souvenir.
What is that?
That is a movie that was directed by Joanna Hogg. It stars Tilda Swinton's daughter. What was her name? Honor Swinton Byrne.
Hmm.
And it's basically about a young woman who falls in love with an older man who's a bit of a scoundrel / drug addict. And it is the story of their relationship.
Hmm.
But it's just really devastating.
Hmm.
And so well acted.
Who's the old man?
It's a guy named Tom Burke,
hmm,
who's an English actor who, I don't know, I haven't seen him in very many things. Really good. Number 6, Gloria Bell.
I haven't seen it.
Well, see, you wouldn't have seen The Souvenir. The Souvenir only played in one theater.
You don't know what theaters I go to.
Did you go to the Metrograph, like, during the 1 week that they played The Souvenir?
The what?
The Metrograph.
Don't know that theater.
Okay.
Okay, go on.
Okay. Gloria Bell. It's a remake of Sebastian Lelio's movie of the same name, Gloria, which originally starred Paulina Garcia, and then this iteration stars Julianne Moore as a middle-aged woman who's trying to sort of regain her lust for life and reconnect with her kids and start a new romance and that kind of thing. Wonderful central performance, great movie.
Wow. I want to see that.
Number 5?
Didn't see it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Uncut
Gems.
Didn't
see it. you saw this evening.
Earlier today.
Yeah, or this morning.
This morning, I saw an 11 a.m. showing of Uncut Gems, which, that is a stressful film. One of the most stressful films I've ever seen. That's Adam Sandler as a diamond dealer in the Diamond District who makes a lot of sports bets and gets himself into some trouble with various individuals, including his family and the mafia, and Kevin Garnett, who plays for a basketball team. What basketball team does he play for?
He's played for a few, but the Celtics was one of them.
The Celtics, that's what it is. The basketball game that happens in Uncut Gems is the most exciting basketball game I've certainly ever watched.
Is it a true game?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is it a playoffs game?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know much about basketball.
Have you seen the one where Dan Aykroyd and Daniel Stern are trying to save the Boston Garden?
Yeah.
There's some pretty good balling in that one.
Yeah.
What's that called?
I don't remember what that was called. I'll look that up.
They kidnap
Yeah, I saw that when I was like 13.
Paul Pierce. That's when it came out.
Yeah. Have not revisited that. All right, that's number 5. Number 4, The Farewell.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Had an opportunity, did not.
You had an opportunity?
Yeah.
What was your opportunity?
It's available streaming services.
Well, you can avail yourself of that.
I will.
Anytime you want.
Yeah, I will. Probably plane. I think that's a plane movie for me.
If you want to cry on the plane.
I love crying on the plane.
Do you know that is a very Dan movie? You would say to me that's a very Dan movie, and do you know why?
Why?
Because it has a grandma in it.
Oh, she's a big character,
she's
isn't
big,
she?
Yes, she's a big character. Central character is the grandma.
Is she a little strict but lovable?
Yes.
So easy to please.
I love that film. I don't know, it's not her first feature, but it's Lulu Wang early in her career, I think. It's a story about a Chinese family who all goes back to, or who are scattered across various countries, and they all go back to China to for a family wedding and also to say goodbye to the matriarch of their family who's been diagnosed with an illness.
And they're lying to her, right?
They're lying to her.
So everyone in the family knows that she's dying except for her.
That's right.
That's some fucked up, some messed up stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean, it's a culture clash movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Number 3, The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Heard it was good.
Did I tell you that?
Did not see it. I heard a thing about it. Film Spotting.
Yeah.
They talked about it.
It's great.
Yeah.
Story about two guys who live in San Francisco. One of them has a tie to an old house that is now being occupied by some yuppies, and they are priced out, and while the house is empty, these two guys decide to move in and fix it up. And it is a really, like, it could have just been a very sort of simple, straightforward movie about gentrification, but instead it is really a movie that is about what happens when you put so much of your identity into a place, and what happens when that place is taken away. It's great.
Sounds good.
All of these things I cried at, I think. Not Uncut Gems. Uncut Gems, I was just, like, palpitating.
Not yet, though.
Not yet. Yeah, I might have some stress dreams later tonight. Number two.
Wow, okay.
Portrait of a Lady on Fire.
Whoa, what is that?
That is a French movie about... Ooh, I tried to describe this the other day. I'm not good at history, so it's set in the 16 or 17 or 1800s.
Oh, some of those times before?
Some of the times
before. You're just
referring
to history as a concept.
Yeah, it happened before. There was no electricity. Anyway, it's a it's a story of a woman who is being married off to a Milanese man, and as a present for her future husband, the woman's mother hires a portrait artist to come and paint her. The woman who comes to paint her falls in love with the woman who's to be married, and they have a very steamy, very sexy love affair.
Wow.
It is kind of everything that I wanted Call Me By Your Name to be, but that I found lacking in that film.
I'm looking it up, and there's no mention of the year, so I guess nobody knows.
Nobody knows. 16 or 17 or 1800s, that's all you need.
Oh, no, end of the 18th century, so
olden
that
times.
Means
yeah,
1990s?
That's 17, no, that's the 1700s.
No, because it was the 18th century.
The 18th
I think that means it's
is...
the 1900s.
No, that's not how it works. The 20th century is the 1900s.
It takes place in like 1995.
Man, we don't know anything about time. Okay, number one.
Number one.
Number
Dan's
one.
Number one movie.
Parasite.
We know.
Well, you said you're going to bleep it out. Parasite is also extremely stressful, a similar level of stress to Uncut Gems, but where you can come to care very deeply about, in many ways, both the rich family and the poor family.
Yeah.
And you come to understand how both of those sets of individuals interact with the notion of a parasite and the notion of the title.
Snubs!
Fantastic. Bleep that out. Sorry, I forgot.
You are one of the worst swearers.
I know.
Among people who refuse to be heard swearing on mic.
I know. I curse like a sailor. That's the problem.
That is the problem. So what, you're saying Irishman didn't even make your list?
So here's what, this is my disclaimer. So here's what I, is, okay. So 11 to 15 right now is The Lighthouse, Booksmart, Knives Out, First Cow, Arctic, like a bunch of other stuff. And then the things that I haven't seen that might change this, The Irishman, although I don't think that that will, to be honest. Atlantics.
No old ladies in The Irishman, only
no
old men.
No old ladies in The Irishman. Yeah, that's not, that doesn't really do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlantics, which is a Senegalese movie that was very well reviewed. The Report, which is the Adam Driver movie about the torture report.
Yeah.
Honey Boy,
mm-hmm.
which is about the making of Transformers. Waves, which is like a domestic drama.
You're going to like it.
You saw it?
No, but just from the trailer I could tell.
Yeah. Oh my God, I like cry at the trailer.
Yeah.
Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
63 Up. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's, it's so beautiful. It's such a lovely project. There have been, oh, I can't do math either. Math and history are both bad for me.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been, I guess, 7 movies in the Up series. And they've just basically followed like 20 people or something like that. And every 7 years they just check in with them and they make a documentary about where their lives
are
now.
So this is what it's called?
63 Up. So now everybody that they're interviewing is 63.
Amazing.
And they're reflecting on their lives and their experience being interviewed and all these other things. And it just looks really wonderful.
Cool.
And then the three things that will definitely influence my top 10. Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Cats.
Oh my God.
And the thing that really might give everything else a run for its money is Little Women.
Uh-huh. It looks pretty great.
It looks so good. Yeah. I think this has been a great year for movies.
Yeah, I think it has. I mean, according to you, there's a lot of movies that are out there that you've seen.
Yeah. And there's stuff that I didn't even mention that I like loved. Like, Ad Astra was good. John Wick 3. Downton Abbey. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. The new Toy Story. And on and on and on and on.
I did see...
Detective Pikachu.
I did see Ad Astra, and I'd like to talk about it. I thought that it fell short of being great.
That's, yeah, agreed.
And I think that as much as I appreciated the performance of Brad Pitt, and I knew what he was going for, it didn't really connect for me.
That's interesting.
And I thought that it kind of killed the movie. It wasn't his fault. Like, he did exactly what he should have done. I think the movie just kind of disintegrated around it.
Yeah, it's funny. So I actually think that it's a great performance. And I found it very moving in its own way. But I do just think that so much rests on his shoulders. And they have such wonderful actors in that film that just feel really underutilized. All actors with, like, such faces, right? So you have Donald Sutherland as the sort of father's friend who drops out of it really early.
Yes.
And it's such a great performance, too. And I was really disappointed by that.
Yeah.
And then Ruth Negga pops up.
Oh, yeah.
As the, like, operations manager on Mars.
She was amazing.
She's incredible, but she's only in it for, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Tommy Lee Jones is also really good.
Yeah.
But he's not present for that long.
And it wasn't a very typical Tommy Lee performance.
Yeah.
He was much more emotional than usual.
Yeah. And I just, I think that it could have been a richer movie. So it feels like such a funny critique to make, because that movie was about Brad Pitt overcoming his own drive for solitude and disconnection, right? That movie is him coming to understand that he needs to be a part of life in the universe, because there is no other life out there. That's kind of the narrative thrust of the thing.
That's interesting. I thought it was mostly just about making you feel like every day feels for that character, which I thought they achieved.
Yeah.
But I did not want that out of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just struggled with it because it's a movie about solitude, and Brad Pitt does an extraordinary job of that. But because it leaned so far into that, it just felt a little bit emotionally distant and cold for me. And it also suffers, frankly, in comparison, for me anyway, to the movie that we had last year, which is about space and grief and death and fatherhood, which is First Man.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a movie that I really did not think I was going to like, and I have a real soft spot for that film.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
And also, Gosling does it a lot more effortlessly, a lot less effortfully than Brad did. Brad seemed to be really acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
capital
so.
Capital T. In not the middle a capital of the word for emphasis.
Yeah, okay.
No, he did great. I'd take nothing away from the performance. I really think that it just made me feel the way that he must feel.
Yeah.
But which sort of left me emotionally cold.
Yeah.
And I think that if it had been framed more effectively, I would have left that movie feeling emotionally full.
Yeah. I think that's right. I think that it's also part of their looks. It's also part of their star personas. But for me, Brad Pitt is somebody who seems sort of like quiet and cool, and Ryan Gosling is somebody who is quiet and sad.
Yeah, that's true.
And that lends itself a lot to that performance as Neil Armstrong. And then Brad Pitt, in a kind of similar but a little bit more kind of active role, was so good in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. He's, I think, the best part of that movie, which is not a movie that I love, but I do think that that's a really great performance.
Now, when that movie came out, I really wanted to see it. It was I was in the middle of a tour with my band, and there are very few days off in which to be able to be in one place and long enough to see a 3-hour movie. And I had a certain group of the band really amped up to go see it. We were all looking forward to it, but it didn't work out the one night we had to do it, because instead we discovered that the hotel had a pool. And we had found a beach ball. So we played our favorite game, which is you stand in the pool and try and keep the ball up and count how many times you can
It doesn't sound as fun as it actually is when you're playing it, when yeah. I'm describing it now. But anyway, we did that instead of seeing that movie. Mm. But then...
But then...
Weeks later, twist. Maybe even a month later, when it yeah. was fully out of all theaters, the theater in the town that I live in, 5 minutes from my house, where they have $6 mm-hmm. matinees, was showing it. And the day that I was able to take a day off and go see it... Mm-hmm. I went to the theater. There was a sign on the door that said, due to an unfortunate event.
Yep.
Not to unforeseen circumstances, mm-hmm. not to, you know, unfortunate events. Nothing vague. Event. One event.
Yeah.
The theater is closed.
Yeah.
And
for good or for that day?
Well, I didn't know. That was all the sign said. All
right.
But it turned out for good.
Oh.
What a drag.
Yeah.
It opened up again, It was sold to another company. Mm. It was no longer the independent theater that it used to be.
So the unfortunate event of them going out of business.
I have a feeling somebody died or yeah. vomited. That was my first thought. Somebody vomited and they closed it.
Different pathways.
Yeah, I think probably death.
Okay.
Otherwise, I don't know how that would have happened.
All right.
Anyway, when they opened up again, that movie was no longer in theaters, so I didn't get a chance to see it on the big screen, which would have been great.
Sorry.
Now, maybe not worth it, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's worth seeing it on the big screen because it's beautifully shot.
No, I mean on a small screen.
Oh, no, it's worth seeing it on a small screen. It's interesting.
Okay.
My take on that movie, the reason that I don't like that movie is because you, and this is spoilers for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
It is a movie in which Margot Robbie plays Sharon Tate, who is very famously murdered as part of the Manson killing spree.
Wait, are you going to spoil it for me?
Yes.
Have you done it already?
No.
Are you going to?
Yes.
Are you okay? I guess I'm okay with that.
I think you are.
Okay,
you'll
fine.
Be fine.
Go ahead.
It's a movie that wrings a lot of narrative tension out of the idea that you are going to see Sharon Tate get killed,
mm-hmm.
and it builds up that narrative tension by, in part, through Margot Robbie giving this really extremely underwritten but very lovely performance as Sharon Tate. And it just gets more and more, the knot in your stomach just builds as you get towards the end of the movie and you realize that they're starting to narrate the day of the murders. And then she doesn't get killed. And that's fine. And that's great. It's like an alternative history thing in a similar way to Inglourious Basterds, right?
Uh-huh.
But she also doesn't... But they ring... so much of the narrative tension of the movie, they ring out of that. And then when it doesn't happen, you're satisfied by that. But then she also doesn't play any role whatsoever in her own not killing.
Mm.
It just, like, doesn't happen. And then she shows up for minute at the end.
Hmm.
And it just felt dissatisfying to me, you know?
Who plays Manson?
Oh, it's a guy. He's also played Manson in Mindhunter. I forget. Oh, it's wow. the same guy. I don't think you would know his name. You might know his face. Do you want to hear my bottom three?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. What are the bottom three? Number three, Stuber.
You saw that?
I did, on a plane.
Okay. Wasn't even, you know, entertaining on the plane?
It was so joyless. Yeah. Bad, bad, bad. Number two is Young Ahmed, which is a French movie by the Dardenne brothers, which is in many ways like... they're technically gifted filmmakers, and for some reason they decided as two old white Frenchmen that the right movie to make at this particular time would be to make a film about a radicalized young Muslim boy who is sort of irretrievable in every way, and where you don't even see him become radicalized, and mm-hmm. so basically you're just kind of watching this murderous cretin for an hour and a half. Bad, bad, bad. The politics of that movie are bad.
Jeez. And it's only 90 minutes?
Yeah.
That's good, at least.
Yeah, it's good. Nobody knew what to make of that after the credits rolled.
Uh-huh.
Number one, Yesterday.
Oh, wow. I'm so happy not to like that. I never saw it, but yeah.
That movie?
I already know. I hate it.
I was going to curse, but I'm not going to. That movie is a nightmare.
You could just say a poopy bum.
No.
Is that worse?
No.
Should I bleep that?
That's just silly.
Okay.
That movie is a nightmare. Okay. That movie is berserk.
Yeah.
It makes no sense, and it's just horrible. And it prominently features the music of Ed Sheeran almost as much as it features the music of the Beatles.
That's a real shame.
Yeah.
Are you a fan of the Beatles?
I'm not a fan of the Beatles.
You're like, so you are a fan of the Beatles.
I mean, not like actively. Like, I know all of the songs and I know the words to some of the songs. The music doesn't hold any like very special place in my heart where I like would actively go see Yesterday because I like the music of the Beatles.
Right. You're not a super fan.
Yeah.
The movie is not marketed to you.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it, is that they picked the most beloved band, or, you know, the band that the most people in the world can agree on.
Yeah.
And decided to make a movie about it, and then got a bunch of sort of non-acting and non-screenwriting jerks together to just make as much money as possible and spend as little as possible.
Yeah. Kate McKinnon is in that movie for like 10 minutes,
uh-huh.
and she's wonderful. And everything else is really bad.
You like Kate McKinnon in general?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you're going to like her when she's old?
Yes.
Old lady Kate McKinnon.
Oh, okay. I see. This is like a callback to the fact that I like old women. Is that right?
This is a running theme in this podcast that just keeps coming up.
Yeah, okay.
And you keep bringing it up without me even trying to pressure you to say it. Dan loves old ladies.
Yeah, okay. What was I going to say about this?
Good year for movies.
Nobody should see it. Oh, I remember what it was. There was one moment in Yesterday where they wring like some small amount of emotion out of you, and that's when the main character plays what is that song?
Yesterday?
No. In my life, I love you more.
Yeah,
you know that song.
Yeah, I do.
Great song.
Eh.
Okay.
It's fine.
Disagree.
You say it's better than fine.
I think it's better than fine.
Okay, it's okay.
That's the year, kind
Man,
of.
That's a great top 10 list. I wish I'd seen even one of those movies.
Yeah, well, you should stream some of them.
Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some time.
I would go from 1 to 10. I think that you would... So I could guarantee you that you would love the top 5. They are all, like, very Josh movies.
Okay, run them down one more time for me.
From 1 to 5, Parasite, Portrait of a Lady on Fire,
uh-huh.
Last Black Man in San Francisco,
uh-huh.
The Farewell, Uncut Gems.
Okay. Sounds good. What do you think is this your favorite Adam Sandler performance from Uncut Gems? I know you just saw it today.
Yeah, yes.
Easy to say yes to that?
Easy to say yes to that.
What's number two?
Probably the Meyerowitz stories.
How about three? That was an incredible job you did in that movie.
I have a real soft spot for that movie.
It's good.
Number three, would be Punch Drunk Love.
How about four?
Happy Gilmore?
There you go. Wedding Singer?
Oh, yeah, I love The Wedding Singer.
And he's good in
it. Okay, four is Wedding Singer.
So you've named the three there where he's playing against type, and then you've kind of given a little nod.
He's a legitimately great dramatic actor, and he's a very good comedic actor, and he just seems to not mind starring in things that are terrible. Like, I'm looking at the list now. Click.
Well, that's one of the worst.
He has a remote control, and he can rewind his own life.
Spanglish?
Ooh, yeah, that's a bad one.
Zohan?
Zohan is okay.
I never saw Zohan.
Zohan is kind of a funny movie.
That was in the middle of a lot of movies that he was making that were not good.
Yeah.
50 First Dates?
50 First Dates, I don't...
It's him and Drew Barrymore.
I don't like that. I think that's just weird to me that he keeps having it.
Her whole family's in on it.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's so messed up.
That's that I don't love. I'm looking at this list. Airheads was one that I loved when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. It's a good movie. It's really a Fraser Fraser
Nuts.
Vehicle.
Nick's Nuts is a Nora Ephron movie that I really liked when I was a kid.
Wait, who's in that one?
Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't remember
and,
that movie at all.
Rita Wilson.
Don't
so
remember.
It's a Christmas movie where... Steve Martin plays like a crisis counselor who himself is depressed. That's
right.
The joke.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So are we good?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I didn't see too many movies this year. I saw Marvel movies. I don't know why it is that those are the
What's
only movies
What's your favorite
I
Marvel
see.
Movie that you saw this year?
I saw Captain Marvel again.
Mm.
I think that's a good movie.
Yeah, okay.
I don't. I think a lot of people don't like it, but... I just find it to be, I think it just uses, what's that actually, Brie Larson, really well. I think there's something about her that that just works in the character. So I think I've talked about it on this podcast before.
Yeah, maybe.
I also saw Far From Home. Thought that was a little fun.
Far From Home. What is that?
Isn't that the Spider-Man movie?
Oh. Yeah, well, you didn't That's preface what it's it by called, saying right? Spider-Man Far From Home.
I preface it by saying Marvel movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was, yeah, okay.
It was good. Yeah, we talked about it, how you were shocked that Jon Favreau and you didn't like that Marissa Tomei and Jon Favreau were even a potential couple, because she's so much better than him. But then I pointed out that has she ever had a non-schlubby love interest in a movie before?
That's true.
And
that's
the answer is no, she has not.
That's sad.
No, it's just her. It's just her persona. She plays someone who's too good for the man she's with.
Well, I mean, I guess that's maybe true. I just saw her on Broadway in The Rose Tattoo, the Tennessee Williams play.
How was that? Who was the schlub?
There is a schlub. There's a guy, and he's a schlub.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
It's kind of her vibe.
I guess that's true, but maybe that's sad. I have to think about that a little bit more.
I think in her real life, she has a good relationship with someone. I don't know. Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
This isn't really a gossip podcast, Dan.
I mean, it could be.
This is just where I, say things without any knowledge in the past, and I hope that they're right. Oh, it just doesn't seem good.
Oh, boy.
This is where Dan's mean to whoever's dating Marissa Tomei.
No, it's not that. It's just, if you just Google Marissa Tomei husband, what Google, gives you as the top result, sometimes it just answers your question, and then the results are underneath it, and the answer in this case is Marissa Tomei was never a bride, but has had many hot men by her side.
Oh, it's even poetic.
Mm-hmm.
Does it continue in verse?
Even though Marissa Tomei has never tied the knot, Yep. She was reportedly once engaged to Logan Marshall Green, which doesn't rhyme with Tied the Knot.
Doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, that's fine.
Who's that?
He is,
Schlub?
No, I don't think so.
So there you go. See?
Person yeah. A little better. Yeah. No, sorry. I think he is.
Schlubby?
Well, no. No. This is the guy who I thought it was.
It's like a roller coaster right now.
I know. Sorry. It's the guy from Prometheus.
And not Michael Fassbender, not the old man. Who from Prometheus?
He's Noomi Rapace's original boyfriend who becomes infected.
I don't remember this person.
Okay, that's fine. We've gone way off track.
No, we haven't. What we've done is build up tension for what we're really here to talk about.
Okay, yes.
And I think the people are ready to hear it.
Great. Okay, so
let's do it. We got to discuss this. We have four movies to discuss right now, and we've got to kind of wean out the worst, and then we'll talk about the best.
Should I say my Hollywood thing?
Yeah, say your Hollywood thing. Let's hear it.
Okay. So Terminator, Karate Kid, Ghostbusters, Temple of Doom.
Okay.
I was just thinking about this before we started.
Mm-hmm.
And just in terms of we'd always talked about how there was a couple of different criteria by which we would judge this. Mm-hmm. One is commercial success, one is cultural relevance, one is longevity.
Right.
You had made the suggestion that we should relax those categories, and I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I think that we should just decide, pick whatever we want.
Well, likability is a category, too. Yeah.
The only reason I'm bringing it up is because I was thinking about the longevity thing in particular, and how each of these things is part of IP that has a very kind of extensive that has extended over the course of many decades. So Terminator, we are talking about this about a month after Terminator Dark Fate came out and bombed.
Right. And that was Terminator, what number? 5, 6?
6.
6.
Right. So 2, Judgment Day, 3, Rise of the Machines, 4, Salvation, 5, Genesis, 6, Dark Fate. Yeah. So that's the 6th property in that series, and James Cameron is back. Karate Kid, you have Cobra Kai, and Ralph Macchio, and the other guy are in that.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters, the trailer for Ghostbusters Afterlife dropped a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just looks atrocious.
Yeah.
But it's being directed by Jason Reitman, who is Ivan Reitman's son, who made the original Ghostbusters.
Legacy, there you go.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Generations. and then Temple of Doom. The last Indiana Jones was in 2011 or something, but then Indiana Jones 5 is targeted towards 2021. And Jonathan Kasdan is doing the script treatment for that.
Crazy.
Yeah. Jonathan Kasdan, whose father turned down the role on Temple of Doom.
Turned down the script writing.
Turned down the script writing.
Script screen
role, yeah,
writing.
For
role.
Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
And whose brother just made the Jumanji sequel.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, anyway, as I was reflecting on this, it just struck me that, like, all of this stuff is so... once a piece of IP hits, it just feels like it's very hard to get rid of it at this point. And once people are sort of, like, whether that's franchise families or real families are involved in these things,
mm-hmm.
they just seem to tend to be involved in them forever.
Well, just like, you know, if you're the son of Lawrence Kasdan, you may have a leg up in getting your script read.
Yeah.
If you are the sixth movie in the Terminator franchise,
mm-hmm.
you got a leg up to be seen by some Marissa Tomei dating schlub who happens to walk into a theater that day.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's like, what did you just say? It's less so that they're hard to get rid of. It's just that they're easier to stick around.
Yeah.
They have the momentum.
Yeah.
Even if it's 25 years since the first and maybe the only good version of the thing, which in this case it is.
Yeah, it's just funny. Jonathan Kasdan is also making the upcoming Willow sequel series. Willow, which was directed by Ron Howard, which is the movie he made a couple years after Splash. You know, so it's just like, it's the same crew.
What's Hanks up to?
I don't know, actually. He's really into typewriters. Is that his thing?
Really?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'll watch a movie about Hanks typing on a typewriter.
He made a documentary about them or something. I don't really remember. Okay, so anyway, those are the movies that we have. Temple of Doom, Ghostbusters, Karate Kid, Terminator. What do you think? What are your opening thoughts?
Well, first of all, Tom Hanks is just a great American actor and personality.
Okay.
What were we talking about? I'm a big fan of Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks has nothing to do with any of the movies we were talking about right now.
Unfortunately, Splash was destroyed by Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we got Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
We got Terminator.
Yeah.
We got...
Karate Kid. We got Ghostbusters.
Woo! Okay. The only funny movie
mm-hmm.
is Ghostbusters.
Yep.
It's a sci-fi with a lot of funny people involved.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying it's something. I'm really starting with a blank slate here. Terminator, decidedly very not funny, although there are a couple great lines that are funny.
Mm.
And I guess maybe the point I'm trying to make is in the 80s, movies were funny.
Okay.
Even when they weren't, they still were.
Okay.
So there was that funny part in Temple of Doom where the guy got bonked on the head. You remember that guy?
He got bonked on the head. We've had too much dim sum.
What was the
funny IPAs? Feels
Karate
like we're getting
Kid.
A little bit punchy.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, let's get serious.
Karate
Kid.
Not like movies in the 80s.
Very little comedy in Karate Kid that I can recall.
Yeah. So, I don't... honestly, Karate Kid... Oh, man. That was a slog. It's like 2 hours long. The one scene that everybody remembers happens at the, like, 1 hour and 58 minute mark.
And it takes 2 seconds and it's over.
And that movie is, like, half about Ralph Macchio nearly being murdered by his, school colleagues.
True.
Yeah.
It sets up the stakes for a very long time. Yeah, that's right. It's oddly paced.
Yeah. The stakes are death. Almost death.
Weirdly enough, though, that movie hit in such a way that we're still watching... regenerations of that IP happen.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, not really, though. Like, in terms of the box office for what we're talking about, it's Ghostbusters, then Indiana Jones. Oh, I forgot about this. The Terminator was 21 at the box office. Way down there.
Mm-hmm.
Karate Kid was in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Neither of us like Karate Kid more than any of these other movies. Can we cut that out?
Wow. Strong statement from Dan. Let me think about what you just said. I don't like Karate Kid more than all of the other ones, it's true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's knock Karate Kid out. Bye, Ralph. Bye, Mr. Miyagi.
So long. Wax on, wax off.
I'm going to crane kick his ass right out of town.
All
right,
so then...
Give him a trophy in the last seconds of a movie.
Terminator, Ghostbusters, Temple of Doom.
All right, here's what I remember about Ghostbusters.
Okay.
It was a whole lot of fun.
Okay.
Ghostbusters did not stop being fun. It had Bill Murray just crushing it at the top of his game. It had Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis supplying a lot of fun plot development. Yeah, I think I said the word fun a lot when mm-hmm. we were talking about it. And the effects held up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping that in for now, and right. I'm gonna take Temple of Doom out. Because Temple of Doom.
Let's cut the rope bridge on that one.
Yeah, we can cut the rope bridge, and they're gonna fall and get eaten by some crocodiles now.
Okay, great. Temple of Doom, probably in many ways the most deeply problematic movie that we've talked about on this list.
Wow. That's interesting. I don't know. I mean, on this list. But what about Romancing the Stone? That was sort of a half-baked, crappier version of Temple of Doom.
Yeah, okay. All right. I forgot about that. That's bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so then we have the final two. Terminator and Ghostbusters.
Two really great movies.
Can I make my pitch?
That I enjoy. Yeah, please.
Terminator is in every single way a much more fully realized film with a much more clear and coherent vision of what it is trying to do, and a much more effective level of pacing, acting, effects, everything, the whole gamut. And it has led to a series of IP, not all of which has been good, but which has generally been more important and well-received and beloved, I think, than the Ghostbusters franchise.
Mm-hmm.
My pitch would be for Terminator. The one last plug that I will put in for that is that Terminator Dark Fate, pretty good. It's not great. It milks, but it's really interesting. And I actually really kind of like this trend of people making sequels 20 years on. Because to see Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger back together again,
mm-hmm.
like basically 30 years later,
mm-hmm.
and to see the age play across their faces and how much more sort of emotion and pathos that gives them really works for that movie. The things that don't work about that movie are the other stuff. Like, it's too long, there's too many action set pieces. It's a little bit the central performance of like the kind of like new John Connor, who's played by what is her name, Daniela Ramos.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't really work for me. Like, there's some things about that movie that I don't really love.
Sounds like a movie that you really like.
But I loved seeing Linda Hamilton and Arnold Schwarzenegger uh-huh. do their thing again. Uh-huh. That was great.
All right. I hear what you're saying. I'm going to have to stand up for Ghostbusters here. Terminator, while it did have a stronger vision and really one thing happening throughout the whole film, which was easy to track, deeply nihilistic
sure.
and pessimistic movie.
Yes.
Which I think most of the lasting appeal came from the sequel,
mm-hmm.
in which Arnold Schwarzenegger is a bucket of fun.
I don't know that I would call him a bucket of fun.
Well, he's a bucket.
But it's more fun. It's a more fun sequel. That's true.
It's a more fun sequel, and that is, at least for me as a kid growing up when I did, that was the one that cemented it into the culture.
Yeah.
I love the first Terminator.
Yeah.
I really do. But I think the second one, Judgment Day, is the one that really gives
yeah.
us, you know, the next 25 years worth. Ghostbusters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very actually excited. When does the Paul Rudd one come out?
Next year, I think.
Next year, you think?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm assuming it's next year because they dropped a trailer for it and it's December.
That's smart. Yeah. So not for Oscar season for this year.
No.
I'm excited. I don't think it's, you know... I think that the failure of trying to bring back the original cast is what it is, and they're just older guys, and maybe
what do you mean the failure? They are bringing back the original cast
for the new one.
Yeah.
Well, I know they sort of peppered him in a little bit on the last version.
Well, on the last version, they just did cameos in the 2016, and that was
uh-huh.
the worst possible thing they could have done because it was just so distracting.
Yeah.
That movie is actually like fine and funny otherwise.
Uh-huh.
I think it's actually pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But then Bill Murray like shows up as a different character and you're like, what? What is this?
Yes.
This one is a direct sequel to Ghostbusters 2, very similar to Terminator Dark Fate.
Okay.
And Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray and Ernie Hudson are all attached. And Sigourney Weaver.
Were they in the trailer?
No.
Okay, well that's what confused me. I just watched the trailer.
Okay.
I'm a redhead, I will say.
Okay.
I think he's good.
Yeah.
I think he's the right guy for this movie.
Yeah.
There are kids in it.
Okay.
I always like when there are kids in movies and they're good.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Yeah, that's great.
And when kids are in movies and
like
they're bad.
I don't like that specific kid.
Who is the kid?
Finn Wolfhard from Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
No, that's your problem. You must not like children in general.
That's untrue.
It's not really fair either. Sorry. Anyway, I'm going to stand for Ghostbusters here because, it wasn't just a simple straight line from beginning to end of the movie, but you get a much more fun.
Mm-hmm.
You get an emotional arc out of a sarcastic, witty guy in Bill Murray.
Mm, okay.
Because, you know, he starts off the movie being a womanizer.
Yeah.
Then ends up the movie realizing there's only one woman for him, and she is a dog.
I think that is all right. That's a stretch, but okay.
Well, I mean, compare it to the arc of Linda Hamilton.
The arc of Linda Hamilton is she's sort of helpless at the beginning, and she becomes, like, she sort of sows the seeds of the Sarah Connor that is to come in Terminator 2 by the end.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
It's
a good arc.
It's pretty,
she has a good arc.
Pretty solid arc.
Yeah. And Michael Biehn has a good arc.
Yeah, but there isn't anyone who turns into a dog in that, really.
No. You know what? I guess Ghostbusters wins.
No.
There's nobody that turns into a dog.
Ghostbusters isn't
going to
win for that reason. I just think there's something good about, what makes a franchise like Ghostbusters last over what makes a franchise like Terminator last?
I don't know. I mean, Ghostbusters didn't last. They made one, and then they made another one, and then they waited 18 years or something like that?
No, but it has been in the, you know, there was a drink called Ecto-Cooler.
That's true.
Slimer,
wow,
as a character lasted, you know, like our entire lives.
Yeah, there
lives,
was the animated series and stuff.
You know, had Ghostbusters hanging out just like Terminator was.
Yeah.
And there's something, you know, maybe it'll change tomorrow, but right now I'm excited about the optimism of Ghostbusters versus the pessimism of Terminator. Pessimism? Pessimism.
Pessimism, what?
No, it's pessimism, I know, I'm sorry.
You
but I
what?
Think they're both great movies.
2019 has been a tough year in the world.
Yeah.
A lot of bad things have happened.
Yeah.
Just got a landslide election for that knucklehead Boris Johnson.
Yeah.
So let's go with something that's a little bit more optimistic.
Boom.
Where you can, at the end of the day, you can defeat the giant marshmallow man.
Yes, you can.
Who is surely conservative.
Yeah, I did not like his policy.
Yeah. Me neither. Okay, Ghostbusters.
Wow. I convinced him.
Yeah, you did.
Nice. All right, that thing you do is up next.
No. No, never. Never. Cool. Well, that's 1984. Ghostbusters is the best popular film.
Yeah, it really is, isn't it?
And if we were being strict and if we were actually talking about what would have been the best popular film, Ghostbusters might have made it. And Terminator certainly wouldn't have because nobody saw it.
Terminator was much lower in box office revenue. What was the total?
Oh, I don't know, but it was 21.
21 of the box office, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like five slots past Revenge of the Nerds.
Right. Yeah, I guess 84 had a lot of silliness and then a lot of dark seriousness.
Yeah. So, what year do we do next?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. Well, I've been wanting to do one of the real movie watching years of my life, which would be sort of like late 90s, early 2000s.
What would that year be?
I don't, well, just off the top of my head, I'm not thinking of any specific movies. I think 2001 would have been a pretty big movie year for Josh.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got on the box office then?
You got Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Lord of the Rings, first one. Shrek. We know how much you love Shrek.
I hate Shrek.
Mummy Returns, Shrek. Pearl Harbor. I think this is a little bit too late. I feel like what you want is this. I feel like what you want is...
You can't do 99.
Why?
It's just the most talked about year in all the movies.
Is it?
Anyone who listens to any movie podcast has already heard 1,000 breakdowns of 1999.
Okay.
Obviously, it's a great year for movies. It'd be fun to talk about. It'd be a fun year to talk about.
Okay. I don't know. Oh, no, 2000. How about 2000?
What do we got?
I'm just going to name things that are interesting.
X-Men.
X-Men. Castaway.
Oh.
Meet the Parents. Scary Movie.
Yes.
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Great.
Aaron Brockovich.
Sure.
Aaron Brockovich is so much better than this Mark Ruffalo movie that just came out, Dark Waters.
Are they about the same thing?
Well, it's like...
Similar thing? There was also the one with John Travolta about the same subject, too.
With John Travolta? What is that?
It came out around the same time. It was about like a Boston area water poisoning trial.
Oh, I have no idea what
that is. There's a book about it. It's like a legal drama.
Okay. Big Mama's House?
No, oh, wow.
All right. Well, okay. We'll figure this out.
I like 2000.
You know what we should do, though? 2004.
What do we got?
Shrek 2.
My God.
Sorry. National Treasure is in there.
Boo.
Okay.
What else? So far, you've named two movies that I loathe.
You don't like National Treasure?
No, I do not.
Really?
No.
I like National Treasure a lot.
That's you.
The Incredibles?
I like that movie.
Do you remember we saw that? We saw an advanced screening of that.
Really?
We did.
I don't remember that.
You, me, and JP.
Huh.
We went to the Cantor Film Center on 8th Street.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
They were screening it there for like advanced audiences.
That sounds like a fun time. I wish I remembered that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. All right. Well, I mean, I guess that's it. We'll figure out the year off mic. Do we have anything else to say?
No, let's leave it at that. Hey, it's been a great year, everybody.
It has been a great year.
Thanks for listening to Snubs.
Thanks for listening to this episode in particular, which I think was like hours long.
No. It's only been about 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's been some amount of time. I don't know how to read this thing.
Okay.
It didn't turn off at all. We were definitely a little punchy. And
that's fine.
I think it was good.
Yeah.
I think we got what we needed to get in there.
We just talked. And sometimes I think that there's at least like one or two people that like to listen to us talk.
Yeah.
There's somebody who's still listening in like, not rural India, that's incorrect, but like the fourth or fifth largest city in India.
Okay, so not like where Temple of Doom takes place for the most part?
No.
Not Bangkok Castle?
Like what would you call, I don't know, Louisville, Kentucky?
A city in the middle of the country?
Yeah, so that.
Okay.
We have people listening to us all over the world, is my point.
And the other thing is, I wouldn't
have listened to us very recently.
I wouldn't call it Louisville at all. I'd call it what it's really referred to, which is Louisville. I think I got that wrong.
No.
Louisville.
No, you got it right.
Louisville.
Louisville.
Well, you're not doing it very good, though.
Excuse you.
Louisville. I have a friend who lives there.
Yeah, okay. Fine.
I've been to the Louisville Slugger. You didn't even hear what I said yet. I've been to the Louisville Slugger Museum, which is connected to the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Why is there a Ripley's Believe It or Not in Louisville?
I guess it's a thing there.
Okay.
It's kind of cool, right?
Well, believe it or not, I've never gone there.
It's a cool town.
Okay.
Nice little place.
Bye, everybody.
Okay.
See you next year.
See you next year. Enjoy it. Goodbye.
Happy 2020.
I'm going to make a theme song for the ending, and it'll be playing now.
Okay.
Like it.
You can play something on the piano.
No. Goodbye.
Bye.